We found Anna, so we can start now. She's just disappeared on us for a few minutes. Good morning. And welcome to our service today, folks. It's good to see you. What a month of bank holidays this is. And while that's great for many folks, and there are some folks and different folks even who are away this weekend, it does leave us a wee bit more short-staffed. Up at the front here, as you can see, we're sparse this morning as we're sparse in the wider congregation. But we do welcome all of you to this service. It is family service. We're staying in to together. Be bringing the children up in a little while, and I would encourage them all to come up because of stuff here for you. So do make sure you come up. And we're going to be reflecting on the significance of this weekend. But most importantly, we're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to think about what it means to acknowledge the kingship of the Lord Jesus in our lives. So we welcome you, and we welcome those of you who are following along in our live stream today, and anyone who is listening to the telephone line service as well. Let's worship God. We gather to praise God's name, the God who is great beyond telling. We meet to celebrate God's goodness, to rejoice in God's grace and mercy. Together we seek God's blessing on our King, on country, on commonwealth, and world. And we come to the one who is faithful, just, and near to all. So let's worship God. Let's give thanks to him, the blessed and only ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So let's stand, let's praise him together as we begin with give thanks to the Lord. Thanks to Alan and Anna for leading us. Thanks to Edith, who'll be leading us later on the organ. And folks, that was a great sign from where I was standing, the sound of your voices coming up. And it's good and it's right and it's proper to lift our voices as we worship the Lord together. Let's also lift up our hearts and our minds together as we come before him in prayer. Let us all pray. Great God, you ride upon the clouds and the earth shakes before you. You protect the widow and act as father to the orphan. You house the desolate and you lead prisoners to prosperity. You are the King of glory and the ruler of all things. Your hands give strength to all. In the company of angels and of your people through all generations, we come with joy to acclaim you, our God, and exalt you as Lord of all. We acknowledge we do not deserve the privilege of coming before you. That we do so today, trusting in your mercy and your love, recognizing your great humility. For in Jesus Christ, you came among humankind as one of us. Praise you for the one who is our Prince of Peace, our King of Love, our Lord of Life. Praise you for how his greatness was shown to ordinary people in acts of gracious service, healing ills, restoring life, washing feet. And then in that supreme sacrifice of laying down his life for us on the cross. God of might, creating and sustaining all things, God of mercy, present among us this morning, we praise you. Receive our worship, which we've brought through our singing and which we bring now through our praying. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, our first reading this morning is from 1 Peter. Chapter 2, and invite you to look that up in your Bibles or to lift the pew Bibles in front of you. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 4, and Heidi's going to read God's word to us.
Our reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. And it's on page 857 of your pew Bible. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, a and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of wrongdoing, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Amen.
Great. We're going to pray together now for King Charles, for his family, and for ourselves. And then at the end of this prayer, please will you join me in saying the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, exalted above all nations and peoples, today we seek your blessing upon King Charles. Give him the gifts of your Holy Spirit as he seeks to fulfill his calling amongst us. Strengthen him with wisdom and justice to serve the people of this country to the honor and glory of your name. We ask you to bless Camilla, the Queen, William, Prince of Wales, the Princess of Wales, and all the generations of the royal family. Grant to them joy and peace at this time, and inspire them by your Spirit in their work. Ever living God, you teach us to love one another as Christ has loved us. In these days of celebration, help us to serve our neighbors and seek the common good of our nation. May your will be done in us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us when to pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
What would I do if I were king? That's a whole other story now. We haven't time for that today. Right. Folks, many of you I know have been able to follow the work of our team who are out in Romania. We've 12 folks out in Romania over the course of this last week. You've either seen, many of you will have seen those pictures either through the WhatsApp group, or we've been putting a lot of those pictures up on Facebook as well. So if you haven't seen those for whatever reason, that's where you can access them. Now, the team themselves, well, when they come back at some point, we'll have them speaking about what they've done. But they've been working hard all week. God has been good. The weather has been good and dry. They have transformed that space of waste ground into a marvelous, beautiful area, and there's a video that was taken of that yesterday, which hopefully many of you can access. If you haven't, asked somebody who has a phone to show that to you today. They're spending the day in the city of Cluj with Steve and Rosie Kennedy, two of our global mission workers out in that part of the world. And then tomorrow they'll be heading home. They have worked incredibly hard. We've even got documentary evidence of AJ drying dishes. That's been put up there as well. But they have worked very hard. They, I'm sure, will be tired when they come back, but I think they're in good spirits. They've been able to achieve an awful lot. And we rejoice in answered prayer, and we pray for God's guiding, protecting hand upon them in their travels tomorrow. Folks, the Men June Bulletin is available. It's both in printed form or downloadable from the website, so whichever you prefer. So if you weren't with us last week, you didn't get a copy of the bulletin, they're at the doors. They're also in the link. You can pick one up there as you come out. And there is tea and coffee after the service for anybody who wishes to stay. Please come through this door and join us. The link continues to be open on Wednesday from 10 until 12. Then we'd ask you to remember the Balmoral Show is taking place this week. Now, I know that's maybe not something that a lot of folks in Lisburn maybe go to. Who's been to the Balmoral Show recently? Put your hand up if you've been in recent years. I see not too many of you. Yeah. Okay, well, that's happening from Wednesday to Saturday. As I'm sure you know, the Dromore Presbytery, we rent a stand in the Icon Centre. We have tables and chairs. We have tea and coffee available, and we also have volunteers from churches across the presbytery who take 3-hour stints just to be about and to talk to those who are passing by, to give them some literature, to speak to them, to try and share something of the gospel with them. So that will be happening Wednesday through Saturday this week. There'll be folks in Railway Street and many other churches in our presbytery involved in that. I'd ask you to remember that outreach in prayer, please. And then last week, registration opened for our Ganaway Youth Camp. I gather places are filling up quickly, which is good. So young people and parents, if you haven't already, please get signed up for that as soon as possible. Then Christian Aid folks, coming around to Christian Aid Week, there are envelopes for donation to the Christian Aid Week appeal. They're available today. They're at the doors. They're also out in the link. So if you didn't get one of those, please pick one up on the way out, and those can be returned over the coming weeks, and we appreciate your giving to the work of Christian Aid. And then fire safety training, folks, this has been coming up on the screens, but I want to highlight this morning. That's going to be on the 21st of May after the morning service in the upper room. This is just basic fire instructions, info on escape routes, fire extinguisher locations, emergency procedures. It's open to all, but could I say, if you're in leadership in one of our organizations, it's really important that folks from every organization is represented at that. If you can send at least 2 representatives to that training, that's imperative, folks. Please that you do so, that you're all aware of those safety measures. So that's after the service on Sunday, the 21st of May. I think those are all the announcements. If I miss something, somebody can come up and tell me, I'm sure. So Charles III is king of our nation, but who's the ruler over our world? Who's the ruler over our world? Yeah. Who is it? Yeah. God. God's ruler over our world. Now, boys and girls, if you were up at the front, you've got a copy of this little booklet, and if you open it to where you see that picture up on the screens and follow along in this booklet. I just want to go through this booklet with you now and with the grown-ups as well. God is the ruler over our world because Genesis 1:1, the very first verse in the Bible, tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God made the whole world and everything in it. So God is in charge of the world, belongs to him. He's our rightful king. And God's not a bossy or selfish ruler like some human beings. Our God is kind and loving and good. And he's made a world that is beautiful and it's full of good things. And God made people as well. And he gave life to humanity. And that means that he is our rightful king.
The trouble is, we don't like doing what God tells us to do. Have you noticed that? We don't like doing what God tells us to do. If you turn over the page, you'll see this picture. Because even though God is the true king, the truth is we don't want him to be our king. Not really. We all say no to him. We don't obey him as our king. We do things that he has told us we shouldn't do, like lie and steal and disobey our parents. We don't worship him as our king. We do what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. And we pretend that we are actually our own kings. Do you see that? That little figure there has the crown above their own head. We pretend that we're king instead of God. And that's what the Bible calls sin. And Romans 3 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And sin, as we know, causes all sorts of problems. By trying to do things our own way, we hurt other people. We make a mess of God's good world. If you think about problems in our world, many of them are caused by our sin, such as wars or famine or our selfish actions contributing to climate change. There are many problems in our world that are caused by our sin. And what's God going to do about that? Boys and girls, if you turn over to the next page to this picture, we find this. It makes God sad that we don't obey him as king. It makes him sad that we are selfish, that we hurt each other, that we make a mess of God's good world. And God has said he won't let us keep saying no to him and pretending to be our own king. Instead, God has said one day he's going to show everyone that he's the only true king, and he will set up a wonderful kingdom that will never end. And the Bible says this in Hebrews 9, man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. And on that last day, on that day when God judges the world, everyone who has been saying no to him all of their lives will be shut out of his kingdom forever. Now, sometimes people say, I have good news and I have bad news. Which do you want to hear first? I always like to hear the bad news first and get that out of the way and have the good news to look forward to. And this is the bad news about us, about how we don't accept God as our king and about what God will do about it. We all deserve God's punishment, but here comes the good news. You'll find this picture in your booklet. Because God is so loving, God has done something to rescue us from the punishment we deserve. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world. Jesus didn't say no to God. In fact, Jesus always did what his father wanted him to do. And he didn't deserve to be punished like the rest of us. But Jesus died on the cross, taking the punishment for our sin on himself. God loved us so much, he allowed Jesus to take the punishment for our sin. And that means that we can be forgiven for saying no to God. We can be welcomed into God's wonderful kingdom as his friends. But there's even more good news. Even though Jesus died, God brought him back to life again. Lots of people saw him and even touched him. We thought about that back at Easter. And then Jesus left this world and went back home to heaven to be with God, his Father. And God has made Jesus king over the whole world. He is sitting at God's right hand. He is sitting on God's throne. God raised Jesus to life and has taken him up to the place of honor at God's right hand. And one day Jesus is coming back to this world. He's coming back to judge the world. There will be that punishment for those who are still saying no to God, but he will welcome his forgiven friends into that kingdom of God forever. What does that all mean for us? Well, it means for us, no matter what age we are today, we have to each decide who will be king. Who will be king of our lives? Because there are only two ways to live. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. There's only two ways to live. The first way is to keep saying no to God, to pretend that we're our own king. But if we do that, we won't win, because God is God and God will one day shut you out of his kingdom forever. The only other way to live is to stop saying no to God, to ask God to forgive us. When we do that, God will forgive us because Jesus died for our sins. He'll welcome you as his child because Jesus died to take your punishment. And then you can start living day by day with God's son Jesus as your king and do what he wants you to do. And you can look forward to being in God's good kingdom forever. So the question for all of us in this coronation weekend is, who will be your king? Who will be your king? And how can we start living with Jesus as our king? Well, first of all, we need to say sorry to God for not treating him as our king. We need to say thank you to God for sending Jesus to die so that we could be forgiven. And we need to ask God to forgive us and help us to live with Jesus as our king. And we can always trust Jesus. If we accept him, he promises that we are forgiven. And that we can trust him to be a great king and living his way and doing what he says in the Bible is the best way to live. If we want to do that, no matter what age we are, we can simply do that by saying a prayer like this one. And I'm going to pray for us together now, and then we're going to sing again. Dear God, I'm sorry that I haven't treated you as my king. I'm sorry that I've said no to you by not doing what you say. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross to take away my punishment. Please forgive me and help me to live with Jesus as my king from now on. Amen. Folks, we're going to continue to praise our king. We're going to sing the hymn, Praise My Soul, King of Heaven, a favorite of our late queens. We're going to stand to sing that as we do that. Those of you who have envelopes, we're going to take up that offering. If you're a visitor, we're not looking at your money, folks. You're welcome to put in something if you wish, but we're not looking at it. We're pleased to have you with us. It's simply for those who still give by envelope. So we're going to stand, we're going to sing, Praise My God, the King of Heaven, then we're going to remain standing as we go into another song following that. Thanks again, guys. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 22. We're reading from verses 15 to 22, Matthew chapter 22. Chelsea Bittle's going to come and read this for us. Thank you, Chelsea.
Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. The Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it the right way to pay imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away.
Thanks, Chelsea, for reading to us. We've looked at the need to decide who will be king of our lives and how to choose Jesus as our king. But how do we follow him as our king from day to day? Matthew 22, in that reading we just heard, Jesus' enemies were looking to trick Jesus. They were hoping to get him to say the wrong thing. And so they asked him what they thought was a very clever question about whether it was right to pay taxes to Caesar or not. Now at that time, Caesar Tiberius was the Roman emperor, who ruled over so much of the world, the known world at that time, including Judea, where Jesus and his people, the Jews, lived. And you see, the Jews hated being ruled by Caesar. They wanted to go back to the days when their country was ruled by their own king, and they were looking forward to God sending the Messiah, the special king God had promised, who would come and rule over his people. And there were many Jews who didn't think it was right to pay taxes to Caesar. And so if Jesus said, In answer to this question, yes, you pay taxes to Caesar. They would accuse him of supporting Roman rule, and that would make Jesus deeply unpopular with the people. But if Jesus said, no, you shouldn't pay taxes to Caesar, then the Jewish leaders would have been able to go to the Romans and say Jesus was promoting rebellion against the emperor, in which case they hoped Jesus would be arrested and executed for treason. And so they thought no matter which way Jesus answered this question, they would be able to use it against him. But Jesus was ready for them. He knew it was a trick. And so he answered the question in a way they couldn't use against him. You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. And they brought him a denarius, a coin like the one in the picture. And he says, whose image is this? And the image was the image of the emperor Tiberius. Whose inscription? Well, Caesar's name was on it. And so he said to them, so give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. He avoided their trap, and his answer was so clever, they were amazed at his answer. What does it mean to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to give to God what is God's? As followers of Jesus, we are called to do all we can to be loyal citizens of whatever country we live in. We're called, as Peter tells us, to honor the king. And so we pay our taxes. And we're called to obey the laws of our country, unless those laws in any way are commanding us to do something that is against God's law. And we work hard and we seek the peace and the prosperity of our nation. That is what giving to Caesar what is Caesar's looks like. But giving to God what is God's means that we recognize that we do not give absolute loyalty to any earthly ruler. God is the blessed and only true ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he has made Jesus king over this world. And so, to give to God what is God's means that we worship God alone, and we give our supreme loyalty to Jesus as our king. And if any earthly ruler or government demands the loyalty and obedience that belongs to God alone, we cannot obey them. We cannot give to them what is God's alone. For many of those early Christians in the Roman Empire, there came a time when they had to choose between loyalty to God or loyalty to the empire. There came a time when the Roman emperor sought to enforce loyalty and unity by demanding that all citizens would worship his image. It was an act of worship. It was a declaration of loyalty to the state. It was an affirmation that Caesar was Lord. But for Christians, the confession that Caesar is Lord could not be contemplated because we believe that Jesus alone is Lord. As this test of loyalty was ruled out, persecution of Christians who refused to do this inevitably followed. Let me remind you of the example of Polycarp, who was bishop of a city called Smyrna. Polycarp refused to worship before the image of the Roman emperor. And he's recorded as saying, 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my God, my King and Savior? You threaten me with a fire that burns for a season, and after a little while is quenched, but you are ignorant of the fire of everlasting punishment that is prepared for the wicked. Polycarp died. He was burned at the stake. For his profession that Jesus alone is Lord, he refused to give to Caesar what belonged to God alone. And for many people in our world today, they have to make a similar choice. Like in North Korea, where people are expected to worship the family of their leader, Kim Jong-un, as if they're gods. There's the statue of Kim's father and grandfather and the people bowing obediently before it. It's a picture like we see in Daniel, isn't it? And yet it's still happening today. Christians believe that Jesus is Lord, and if they refuse to worship the ruling family, they suffer as a result, and many are in prison. And folks, increasingly in our country too, we are going to be faced with a choice. Who will be king? Do we obey our state and give it ultimate obedience, even when it asks us to obey laws that are against God's laws? Or do we remain faithful to God and his word? Will we continue to say that Jesus alone is Lord? Those days are here. And for those of you, particularly those of you who work for the state, whether as teachers in the health service or civil service, you're going to find those conflicts coming up more and more. And so the question is, who will be king? Will we affirm that Jesus alone is Lord? We believe that God's kingdom is a kingdom that will one day overturn every earthly kingdom. That God's kingdom will endure forever. That we are citizens of the kingdom of God, and we affirm the truth that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So as we finish, let me ask you one more time, who will be king? Who is king of your life? What does that look like from day to day? Let's think about that for a moment, just quietly in silent prayer. Thank you again, Lord God, that you are the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus, is enthroned at your right hand, that you have made him king over the earth. We thank you that one day he is coming back to usher in your kingdom in all its fullness. And then the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ. Help us to answer that question today. Who will be king? Who is king of our lives? We don't know Jesus as our king. May we bow the knee today. May we have prayed that prayer. And for those of us who recognize Jesus as our king, may that be seen in our lives from day to day. May others see the reality of the rule of Jesus, what we say and how we live. And where there is conflict, Lord, as increasingly there will be, we pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength to give to Caesar's what is God, to give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, but to give to God what is God's. And where we are called to give to Caesar what is yours, where we're called to give to the state what belongs to you alone, may we have the courage of those early believers. May we have the courage of those believers in places like North Korea today, to say no, that Jesus is Lord. So King Jesus, as we go from this place, may we bear witness to your rule and your reign, for we ask it in your name. Amen. Folks, we're drawing our service to a close. We're going to join together to affirm that reign of Jesus in our world and in our lives. We're going to sing "Over All the Earth." We'll remain standing from the benediction. And then we will sing together one verse of the national anthem. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all evermore. Amen.